as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Jesus, for you purchased this opportunity with your own blood, Lord. Amen. You set a standard, amen, for us to live by. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. The Comforter whom Jesus sent that helps and guides and directs and educates us into the things of God. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, blessing the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you, Lord, and your word today. Father, I ask right now that you would touch yet even the heart of the bereaved, amen, the discouraged, Lord, the downtrodden, that you would lift them up, that you would speak to their hearts and bless them to know, amen, you yet alive, amen, and you heal and deliver. Amen. Comfort them in this hour. Father God, we're asking right now to bless you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write up on your hearts of your people that which you would have us to say. We want to be all of you and none of me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've been dealing with the issue of the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I mean, if it's in the Bible, it has a purpose. God don't do anything for nothing. And when he does something like that, and the fact that Paul broke it down, you know, it's an issue where you have to go to God for deeper revelation, you know, rather than just skim over it and make assumptions. Why would God go through so much trouble to seemingly state comparatives? Well, it's because this life is about our life. We're supposed to be learning to become fully operational Christian. That's the simplest explanation. And that is not a simple thing as people make it out to be. It is far, far more than just being good and go to heaven and live happily ever after. I mean, we're going to do that, but if you really check, we know that when Jesus come back, we're going to spend that 1,000 years on this earth. And the challenge, the difference that I see in the word is that there will be two classes of human beings. Those that came through the tribulation that haven't been converted to the full state, and then there will be us. We change at the point of the rapture, as those that have gone on before us have changed now to the fullness of who we are. This is just the beginning of it. And you know, I've shared before that a blessed man of God was taken on a tour of heaven. You know, he has a book out called Close Encounters of the God Kind. In it, I took note of the fact that Abraham, the father of faith, was teaching classes to people in heaven. And that's probably because many of us do not read the Bible. And if we don't read it, so we certainly don't study it. The whole object of this lesson is to separate our minds from God's mind. You know, his mind. He said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Because he thinks, he sees the wholeness. He sees eternal life. He sees us completed. He sees the challenges coming forward. You know, it's hard for me to think that this is, we're not working to get to heaven. We're not trying to prove we're worthy of heaven, because if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be. But it's clear when I listen to people talk, and even when I watch myself, that this is needed, because we have to constantly remind ourselves of whose we are. We belong to the God. We belong to God. And our behavior should be illustrating that. So we're going to go to our base scripture, which is Galatians chapter 5. And Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We talked about that, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. So what we're still talking about, and today we're on meekness, you know, and it's, you know, you'd almost think by comparison that meekness and gentleness and goodness are almost the same thing, but they're approaching different areas. You have to remember that the Bible, those that penned the Bible were being instructed by God via the Holy Spirit. And there's no distant difference in the thinking of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They think identical all the time, 724. Never change. It ain't like us. When we may think one way, we may agree with the word today, and tomorrow is a different story. Or a situation changes, a different story in a moment, you know. So, and we have as an example. Now, granted, Jesus was hypostatic union, fully God and fully man. But when he was fully man, he was fully man. And the Bible says he was tempted in like manner as we were, but never sinned. Now, yeah, he had insight, but the point is he separated himself from that. He came down from heaven to earth. Okay, and to the point is it has to be, again, like I said, it's about what I see in 1 John 3:2, we shall be like him, Philippians 3:20, our body shall be changed. But what is that? What is that like? What can you do? Well, when you look back at the things that Jesus did, everybody know he walked on the water. But we don't think about what it takes to walk on the water and how much power that really is. And think about if that kind of power is in the hand of a corrupt individual. You know, you couldn't do nothing with him. After his resurrection, when he visited the disciples in John 20:26, I believe, he appeared just out of thin air. See, that is complete control of the molecular environment. And you have to understand, there's no empty environment. There is a lack of certain types of molecules, but there's never an emptiness. You know, see, we can't see, just like we can't see angels, and they're all around us. Well, they're around me anyway. And we can't see the demons that get on our nerves, okay? Because our eyes have been built in a way to limit the amount of light exposure so that we can't see them. But in the next life, we'll be able to see everything all the time. See? But at the same time, the restrictions and the restraints that are upon us now won't be there. But now when you look at what people do with power right now, with money, and money is really just imaginary, is we give it value. If we say it ain't nothing, it ain't nothing. Because if you was on an island somewhere and you had $1 million, but you didn't have no way to get off that island, that money just be paper. It ain't a boat. You'd have to pay somebody. They'd charge you $1 million to take you off that island. You would pay them or stay there and die. See, that's how the value is. And you can see that now. So when you look at situations like that, you can see the necessities for teaching like this. Okay? Where are we going to go? We're going to go to, let's go to see what Jesus' brother said in James chapter 1. And now, it's interesting. I was reading earlier today, and there was this is back in the 17th century, they were debating which James wrote this. And I'm sitting there, and I'm reading, and I'm like, is this the will of God? Is this word the will of God? Does God agree with what was written? I think the revelation came from God that it is Jesus' brother. So that is that. I don't have to guess. And the fact is, you know what you find a lot of time with people that don't debate stuff? They don't do something as simple as ask God, as though he's too busy to ask or he's too big to ask. God is what he wants us to be. God, Jesus illustrated that. He was known as being meek and humble. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Now here James, okay, writing to the saints. Again, you got, even though you have the various cultures, you know, you got Jews and Gentiles. That's pretty much all there is. Still, there's the common behavior because Satan throws a lot of things out there at us. He always has, okay? So we have to be able to discern what is really beneficial and what isn't. And then there's the aspect of not really knowing the true nature of man. Now, we have a big advantage. We have had their time, we got their time period and many others' history piled in books, and we can study and see the continuity of man's behavior and the continuity of God's faithfulness, but it also takes away our excuses. You know, it's no excuse for us to not be able to do better. Because, see, they didn't have Bibles and videos, and I look at all the stuff that I have now to work with just in the last 20 years. You know, when I started, I had nothing but books, and I still have them, you know. And now most of those books are on my phone called commentaries, you know. And, again, it showed the continuity of behavior and the thought of man. Now, today we're talking about meekness, and it's a Greek word, praeotis, it's P-R-O-T-E-S. It almost seemed like, it's a duplicate of goodness, but it is not in this particular instance. The point here, we're going to see, I'm going to relate to, it's always about interaction between people. It's always about that. But now there are different aspects that I want to bring to light that people need to understand, because in this country, particularly in America, people relate to the U.S. Constitution as to what they can and cannot do. Well, when you're in the kingdom of God, the statutes in the King of God, the laws in the King of God and the Word of God supersede the Constitution. We don't have freedom of speech. And that's one, is we understand we have the freedom to speak, but we are limited to speaking that which is beneficial. You know, we know in Proverbs, 22:19, anyway, we know that it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we know we've been made aware that speaking negative is like I've used as an example once before, it's like laying on your back and spitting up in the air. It's going to come back down in your face. We have to understand our nature. When God made the earth, he did not hire a construction company. He spoke it. And we are made in his image and likeness. So we have those capabilities. But the difference is we don't have the wisdom he has. We have to develop that through experience. He's always had it. He's God. You know, Jesus always had it. He's God manifest in the flesh. The Holy Ghost has always had it. He's God. So, but we, on the other hand, are different. And we don't have that many different types of natures, but we do have different natures. We have different types of being. The Bible moderates us all. It moderates us all. And this is where this issue of meekness. Meekness and quietness are not the same thing. Being a quiet and shy person doesn't make you meek. Because, you know, that's you can be quiet and shy and just as ornery as all get out. I know people like that. You know, the common word we use is we call them sneaky. Because they don't look like they do stuff, but they do stuff. But because they don't make a lot of noise, they tend to get by. Or God might want them, when God needs something done, particularly in the area of ministry, that's when meekness really comes into play, because a lot of times people won't because they are overly shy. They let their shyness override their meekness. A meekness is another level of submission, and submission is when you don't want to do it, but God asks you to. It's right to do, but you do it, and God will bless you, because, again, you have to think that you know, the roles we're going to be playing, if we're going to rule and reign with Christ, that means we're going to be dealing with people. And you're not going to be dealing with people on your same level as much as you will be people that's not on your level. the survivors of the tribulation, and the growth of them after that, for that thousand-year period. And again, this is where you find, you know, those of us that have been into the work world know about the difference between having a mean, unwise leader versus having one that is wise. One that is meek versus one that is not meek, that is proud, full of pride, you know, big-headed, as we call it. All right, then, where we at? James chapter 1. Now note this, and this is it. This works anywhere, at home. Because James, again, he's talking about be ye changed by the renewing of your mind, which can only be done by the word of God. It says in verse 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted, embedded word, which is able to save your mind, will, and emotion, a.k.a. your soul. Okay? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his face in a glass. And for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and immediately forget what manner of man he was. In other words, if I don't have the word, and this is why you see people that they want the full benefit of God, but they don't want it according to his word. Well, that ain't going to happen. I mean, you can't overlook the fact that in this world, Satan exists. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, I believe it says that Satan is the god of this world. So if you out of God's will, you're going to be in Satan's. I don't have a Richard's will. I'm either in God's will or Satan's will. There's no Richard will. There's no neutral territory. It's either one of the two. All right, so again, you can see here that James is talking about be swift to hear. Now, let's say this is a employer-employee situation. And, you know, and I've seen this in the workplace where people lack patience and the willingness to help their leader, but they don't. When you appoint a person into leadership, is because you hope they have experience and wisdom in dealing with people. And that's what is required here. Now, here you have to remember that God is trying to influence the whole world. So, and people, you know, if you've been a Christian a while, you know, people will find you out. They look at you, man. They watch you like a hawk, man. They report the news on you. They Facebook you, you know. They almost don't want you to be human. But, you know, you'll find, though, if you're making an effort to walk in the righteousness of God, they'll give you a break. Then that helps them to understand that Christians are just people that are smart enough not to go into judgment without a lawyer named Jesus. That's basically it. And they are not perfect people. They haven't been but one flesh person that was perfect and never missed it. His name was Jesus. Okay? Now, he talked about for the wrath of man, you know, I mean, be swift to hear, and particularly when you think this situation comes when there's a person, you know, they may not know as much as you do. They may, you know, say something that you already know. But the point is, in listening to them, you'll know how to get them to the next level. See, that's the beauty in that, and in the personal relationship, particularly. In dealing with children, even. Because remember, when we have children, our job is to prepare them to be adults, not children. So sometimes, it is necessary for us to have the proper information to share with them. I was in a conversation earlier this week, last week, And we were talking about the fact of the availability of information has made pornography available to any child, and most children today over 10 have a cell phone. So they got internet access. Satan is going to lead them to that. So it's incumbent upon the parents to have a type of relationship when they can communicate with them, not the type of relationship where the child is scared, afraid to ask those questions. Because you're preparing them now. The issue is, do you know what to tell them? Do you know what the Bible says about sex? See, and how to explain that. And because, again, this hinges on the fact of why sin? Sin strips you of power. That's why Satan pushes sin. He knows it strips you of power. He knows if you're out of the will of God in almost any area, that's his door opening. And that's what they do. So we have to be able to prepare them. That gives us an opportunity to give the whole picture. But again, there is relationship that you have to build with your children. So, anyway, now, and again, the word meekness encompasses humility, you know. And let's look at some things that God said about, look at Psalm 25:9. Again, and that's another area. A lot of people, anybody that don't want to read the word, you really are telling God you're smart as he is. But at the same, what he sees is a person not interested in his will. There's no way you can convince God you are interested in his will. See, because your will only going to last for this life, and you don't know how short that is. His will is going to last eternally. He's thinking about, he's not expanding the universe at the speed of light for nothing, because he's like bored or he just want to see how far to go. He has plans to, listen, because, see, he has planned to expand. Now, I was reading something in a commentary earlier today on First Fruits, and I hope I get to it. We are the first fruits. When the cutoff point at the rapture or at the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus come back, at that cutoff point, we are a generation that will be different. We would, like, as far as I can see in the word, it's going to remain that way. There's alleged, I guess, 880 billion people that's been born since Adam. That's a number I heard. That generation from Adam to the return of Jesus is going to be the converted generation. And everybody after that will be a human generation. And when it talks about in Revelation that the leaves on the tree was for the healing of the nations. Okay? Well, we're not going to need healing. So why would God have a tree now? You're talking about the devil is gone, he's in hell. So why would he need a tree with leaves to heal the nations unless somebody was going to be in need of healing? That won't be us. We'll be made incorruptible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verse 48 through 58. Okay? So you got to do the math on this. Now, and above all, you got to ask God about it. You know, he said, all your ways acknowledge him. And this is a way. When you're listening to somebody share something, teach something, you don't have to agree right away, but you should ask God, because, again, it always relates to the amount of power and authority. Now, here in Psalms, it says, it's the Psalm of David, and it says, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. You know, I've probably said before, when you go to God, do not go to him with a prejudiced man. If you do, you will not get an answer. Because, you know, he wants you to come to him wanting to know what he wants you to know. Because, again, like I said, this here training day, I know I wasn't the first one. I definitely know I wasn't the first one. Watchman Nee taught it from the time that he was 20 to 40. So until he, Satan managed to take him out. Another man of God taught it, and they grinded him. Called him, a heretic. And I listened to him. If you're still teaching righteousness, if you're still teaching Jesus is Lord, sin is sin, Jesus alone saved, you got to walk by the word. All I'm adding is one avenue. There's a reason for all this. It's not just happenstance. There is a reason. That's the key. That's the only thing different. Everything else, I've gathered teaching from men and women of God that I've heard over the last 40 years. And I'm compacting it, trying to help young new people. I'm not really worried about y'all old heads. Y'all done got it, they say, they in their ways. They got their ways. As long as your ways is God's ways, I'm an open person. I'm open for change. Any way God want me to be. And that's another aspect about being meek. Doing what God say, how he say, when he say. Because that requires, that's a lot. You know, I watch and I appreciate the fact. I appreciate the fact that my pastor takes a break. You know, he travels a lot. He has a lot to deal with. And so, you can't be the type of person that come to church and you only gonna come to church when the pastor's there. But he has to trust God to be able to put other men and women of God in the pulpit to share the word with us. And I can tell you, in the 30 plus years I've been there, I have never been disappointed. Never. And that's powerful when you can say it, because I've been to churches where it was a chore to be there. You know, there's certain people, it's almost like we get revival on a regular basis. I mean, but again, see, so all this, you can't operate in faith without meekness, because God is going to draw you out beyond yourself. That's the key about meekness. Meekness is about you. You got strength. You got courage, but can you lower yourself? Let's go watch the Lord read. I can't miss this. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And it's a familiar scripture. I'm amazed. People that struggle with this, it says it is. It is what it is. We're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday. I don't know why people keep trying to put human logic with this. It makes God sense. I don't care if it makes human sense. It makes God sense. It's his business. God said it. When they say God said it, I believe it. That settles it. All right. All right. We're talking about Jesus now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Now he set the groundwork. Okay. Said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I have to tell you something. You need to study that out, what it means to be Christ and Jesus. And Jesus and Christ. they say it different for a reason. Okay, but in this case, it's the anointed Jesus, empowered by God and his anointing. And now listen at this. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And everybody know this part, or you should. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But now, it's something. You know, they have this TV show called Undercover Bosses. I don't watch that show because it makes me cry. it's a blessing. But, that's leadership. Leadership comes down and see what's going on with their people. They don't make assumptions. They don't make unnecessary and in some cases unholy demand. You know, I used to work with a person that's now even at a higher level. And seeing that's why they are there, because they humbled themselves. You know, it's amazing. A lot of people don't think that because they get caught in they've been caught into the situation. He's the type of person that most, what they call them, A-types, they don't like excuses. Do the job. Work hard at it. You know, don't be, you know, because in due time, you're showing you're available for advancement. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. God is looking for people he can use, but, you know, he can't get enough people to come to the throne. You know, they don't understand how do you not know how powerful prayer is, how significant you are as a member of the royal priesthood of God. See, all this comes back to the willingness to not my will, but your will, God. Not my will, but your will. And that takes something, because you do have a strong nature to want to do what you want to do. And like I said, we got all these distractions, but we have to learn how to ferret them out and what's beneficial to the kingdom of God and what isn't. Okay? So now we want to look at another person. That's Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And just want a little bit touch a little bit on that in verse 5 and 6. Now, as you know, Paul, some of you may not know, Paul was a high-level individual, highly intelligent individual, determined, born that way. He was a wealthy person, amen. People don't pick up on that, but he made tents. Tents then were mobile homes now. He was in the RV business, okay? People traveled, they took their house with them. That's how they did business. And that's what he was, a tent maker. He was a Pharisee. He studied under the person named Gamaliel, which would be the doctorate level of theology. He knew the word, okay, and he thought he knew the word, you know, but like a lot of people, he got caught up in religion. Well, one day in Acts chapter 9, he had an encounter with Jesus himself, you know, and that changed everything. And in the process, all that you're reading in the writings that he wrote in the book of Corinthians and Thessalonians and Titus and Hebrews, he has received of God. And you'll find that. I knew a man of God, and I didn't have a problem with it, but I've known him all my life, right? Now, to me, in a private setting, things are different. But, you know, however you want it, that's what it'll be, okay? Anyway, we was in a private setting with nobody else around, so I called them by their first name. I mean, I'm older than them. I knew them. You know, I have a rule. If you're not 21, you can't call me by my first name, all right? But anyway, they referred to me calling them by their name and their title. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't know the Catholic Church created that title. But anyway, because you ain't seen it in the Bible. But, okay, and somehow I knew that as a minister, they was as high as they gonna get. And you know what? That's what happens. When you exalt yourself, you ain't going nowhere. You put yourself on a pedestal. They say when you get on a pedestal, every direction you step, you're going down. That's the way it is. See, Jesus, although he was at a high level, he was at the highest level. He humbled himself. See, that's what we have to do with ourselves. There's a lot of times God can't promote us because we won't humble ourselves. You know, humble yourself before the Almighty God, and in due time, he will exalt you. So here Paul is relating to an incident. I'm not going to get into how it happened, how it came about, you know. It relates to an out-of-body experience, but that ain't the focus point. The focus point is that God took him to yet another level, but I call it the hat band. You know what a hat band does? If your head swell up, it keep your head from getting too big. Okay. So we're going to read from verse 5, 12, first, 2 Corinthians 12, 5. It says, of such one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan above me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Okay? Now, and you know, life gonna do that to you. Because when you, one thing I do know from experience, if you seeking to walk in the will of God, if you're seeking to be a meek person, and you get out of character, God will put you back in. He'll stick the dogs on you. He'll remind you, you ain't all that, okay? You know, he just, you know, God don't do nothing, and that's what God does that's the most. When he do nothing, the devil act up. I had to say, I got my arms folded. Nah, when God see God, when Satan see God with his arm folded, he know he can come down here and clown. See, till God raise his hand. God raise his hand, everything stop, okay? The point of the matter is, and we don't know what's coming up. I keep hearing, and I can't believe these people keep saying these things and God not do it, because you have to look at the process. You know, we don't drive cars. Pardon them. We don't drive cars because we were smarter than Paul and them. They were not allowed. God didn't allow it, period. You can identify, if you study philosophy or mathematics, you go back 3,500 years and find out that they knew as much then about math as we know now, but they were not allowed to utilize it, okay? The point of the matter is, I just want you to know that being meek, particularly, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. This is what you do when you're out of the house, when you're not at church, okay? Everybody meek at church. It's when you're not at church that the meekness has to show up. Or if you're working at a church, that's something I ain't never wanted to do. Hallelujah. All right. Whew. I'm going to read this whole text. You know, I was going to start at verse. Well, we'll go through here. Wait a minute. I think I want to do, sorry about that, my eye. Oh, well, we'll do the employees first, okay? You know, and one thing you have to learn, when you're on a job, you know, I was taught that, and it's sad I ran into a situation once where doing my best was what they didn't want, but at the same time, they couldn't tell me not to do my best. Doing my best was costing the company money because I was working in quality control and they ain't had no quality. It was 50%, honestly, it was. And I thought that would be a good thing that I'm finding all these problems. But it cost money to fix the problem. And they wanted to pass the problem on to the dealerships. I was working at that time at the auto companies. That's another reason I didn't go back, but that was, I don't know if that was good or bad. Anyway, so here it says, use the word servants in Colossians 3:22. But here I'm going to use the word employees, okay? It says, because they were of a different culture back then. We I forgot the name of what we are versus what they were. But they were just like, we don't have a king over us other than Jesus. You know, we have a president. We have a democracy. They didn't have a democracy. They had a republic, but you didn't get to do all the things that we get to do. And particularly if you weren't a citizen, you didn't get to do all the things that you wanted to do. But it says here, it says, employees, obey in all things your employer. Well, I'm going to read what it actually says so you can kind of get it. Because the point of the matter is, okay, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. All right? It says, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. All right. Now, so when you're on a job, whatever job I've had, I've always done my best. You know, in my last days of work, I was a little challenged because they wanted me to do something that wasn't legal. It was a minor infraction, comparatively, misdemeanor versus a felony. It really was a political issue, and I refused to participate because I esteem God higher. I know that if I'm out of order, Satan can get at me, and I could not afford for him to get at me. I can never afford. I don't want him because, you know, how long you look at an auto accident, and it takes a second, and your life's changed forever. I don't like to leave those doors open. And this is one of the slick tricks of the devil. He find those little fox holes, that little things that he can get in with, a crack that he can pry open. See, this is another reason for meekness. Meekness is stopping, listening for the Holy Spirit, and then responding to his direction. I had that encounter just the other day. I was doing a business transaction, and I was going to make a change because it's getting chaotic, and it seemed like it was taking longer, so I was going to make a change. And just as I was getting ready to make the change, Holy Spirit, I felt it. And now, when you feel the Holy Spirit, you generally, it's in the center of your being, not in your head. Your head, and as a matter of fact, we're in Colossians chapter 3. You need to write the scripture down. So this is the decision-making scripture. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Okay? And then he tell you how you know. But it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdoms, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. I just threw that in there, to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. This stuff just too good to not let say it. But the point I want is that my peace was gone for a moment. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, we'll do it your way. And sure enough, I would have only delayed it by another week, but it came to pass today. These are the things, again, this is what meekness does. It helps you keep your head clear so your heart can transmit and communicate. Because God communicates with your spirit, not your head. Your head is like a freeway. He like that silent. That's why he's notorious for getting people up 3 o'clock in the morning and talking to them. I was taught, keep a notebook by your bed, especially you preachers and teachers. Keep a notebook by your bed because you may ask a question today and then Thursday night God decide to answer. And when you do that, if you're a working person and you have to get up in the morning, tell God, I thank you, Lord, I believe I receive rest. You don't need sleep, you need rest, okay? I know this from experience. All right. So now I want to also talk about, go to chapter 4. And we're gonna talk about the employer side, because I know if you're an employer, and some of you are probably going to be CEOs, you know, you don't even have to be undercover. Always know what's going on with what you're doing. Take some time, make some effort, communicate with your people, and above all, don't be cheap. You know, I'm not talking about new businesses. You've been in business 10 years, and you're making multi millions of dollars, and you can't pay your janitor a living wage. And people just found out when this pandemic showed up how important janitors really are. Very important. You notice they didn't call no basketball player, baseball player to clean up. They ain't going to do it. And if you're a baseball player, basketball player on the pro level and getting paid, you really need to understand meekness, because that stuff can change in a heartbeat. All it takes is a broken ankle, a broken toe, a broken elbow, and you're through. Anyway, and then you're going to need direction for your life after that. Some point in time, you're going to retire, so there's no escaping God's way of life for a believer. Now, it says, masters, a.k.a. employers, give unto your servant that which is just and equal. Knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You know, I wrote a company and suggested that they do that because, you know, I've approached God over some things I wanted to do, and he said no. So other than that, I would do it just to I wanted to do it just to prove it can be done if you do it the way of God. That was my whole point. I wanted to get in the business just to prove you could grow the business to the point where you could pay your person decent wage. Because why? All you got to do is be in alignment with the word. Tithe your business, give from your business, treat your employees like they're God's creation, because they are. You know, treat your customers, amen. Do the things that God would have you to do. Don't do it, well, this is the way I run things. No, it ain't. No, listen, run things God's way. That's what's wrong with this country. That's what's wrong with this world. Everybody think they smarter than God, and they prove that they ain't. And it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. I hate to tell y'all that. COVID is just a step. It was a shakeup. You know, and if you've been around a while, you notice that God didn't stop it. You're like, okay, y'all smarter than me. Let me see what y'all can do with this. And he just sat there. And Corona come up in there and been running wild. And they struggling to get him. All right. Now, just to show you that this has been a continuity, we want to look in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 4. Just giving you that God has always had this mindset. It did not start with Paul during that time period. It says, "You shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of your brethren or strangers that are in the land within your gates. At the day that you give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon him, for he is poor, and set up his heart upon him, lest he cry unto the Lord, and it be a sin unto you." Now, you know, it's really interesting. Like, I was driving Uber, and with Uber, you could pay yourself every day, you know, for a small fee. It ain't but 50 cents, but at the end of the day, you can collect your money. And you can see here, this is how God dealt with the poor. You know how he felt today, because he knew they couldn't wait to Friday to buy some bread that they needed today. They got kids and family to feed, and on and on and on. You know, God touched on every issue in the law, believe me. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. It helps to get to the right chapter, right? Okay. Well, anyway, this is just talking about business dealing, and it says, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. You shall not swear by my name falsely," talking about the Lord, "neither shall you profane the name of the Lord God. And you shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." You know, now with technology, I noticed that Del Taco, they have a sign in the window. They pay their employees by the day. And I think that's going to grow because, I mean, minimum wage, that's really slavery. When you look at the Bible definition of slavery, when you don't have enough money that you can live off of it, that's slavery. You know, they can say it, but that's what it is. I'm going by the Bible definition, but I'm not teaching on that right now. All right. We just talked about Jesus. Man, we having fun because time is sure enough getting better. We talked about God gives grace to the humble. And the last thing here I want to talk about it again, James, the brother of Jesus, chapter 5. You know, that chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 is going to be manifested. I keep hearing this wealth transfer. We've seen it before with the children of Israel, and I believe it's going to happen. You know, one of the things you see through the word is you see a continuity of men and women of God saying the same thing. It's sad that doesn't turn out well for Israel, because eventually they wind up in captivity because of it. It's not going to happen this time. Oh, okay. Nope, that's not what I want. Oh, ooh, I'm way off. Okay, and this is going to be the last one. 1 Peter chapter 5. All right, and that, now I said that earlier. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, remember, the humble is a word that is drawn out of meekness, you know, in its definition. It's one of the words, one of the characteristics is humility. And humility is basically, by description, is where you decide you will lower yourself rather than be brought down. You know, the proud are always brought down. It says, what is it? Death go before, a proud spirit go before destruction. And what is, anyway, and it's amazing. Most of the time when I hear somebody else, pride go before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. But anyway, and that's because you can't, you're not watching where you're going. And you forget who is really in charge. And it's sad when I talk to people and recently, and they are disconnected from God through all this. But there's only one reason a person is disconnected from God. They choose to be. They don't want to humble themselves. You're not submitting. I'm not, you know, I submit to God, but I serve where I'm at. Okay? And I do not have a problem with that at all. I mean, Jesus came down from heaven to show us the way. I mean, he came down a long ways. We trying to get there. Okay, but anyway, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And one of the best examples of that was a young man named Joseph in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through 50. And when you read it, despite all that went on with him, he got sold into slavery by his brethren. He got double-crossed while he got sold into slavery, double-crossed in jail. Employer's wife tried to dog him out. I mean, after each situation, you know, he recovered from and eventually wound up the prime minister of Egypt over a land that he was not a natural citizen of. And God is still able to do that today if he can use you where you are anytime. You know, if your employers are not paying you enough money right away, get you a prayer group together. Okay, don't complain, pray. Do your part right. God's going to do one of two things. He's either going to, and believe God for another source of income. You don't want one source of income. You need to have two or three. Okay, you look at how farmers have food they grow, they have cows, and they have chickens. Those are all different sources of income, okay? Think about that. See, we've lost a lot in this modern world. But the point of the matter is that the word meekness is there to let us know that we got to shave ourselves and bring ourselves, cut ourselves down to where the Lord wants us, where he can use us. And sometimes, you know, and I'm going to end with this. I'm getting like a preacher with like five closings. You know, I once told a person they didn't even want to hear all I had to say. I was a young lady. I told them they need to start a lawn care service. They just cut it off right off the bat. I don't want to cut the grass. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, I knew exactly what they wanted to do, but they did not have any other source of income at the time. The point is the steps that they need. See, I have a continuity that I've learned. Wherever I am, I serve God. See, and that was the whole point there. They could have started the lawn service because I've started the lawn service and then bought some property. So you go to another level. Then you go to another level. But you ain't going to go nowhere without God. And then people be whining. How come the Lord won't bless me? How come you won't do what he say do, what he say do, how he say do? That's what the problem is. Meekness prevents all that. Meekness will help you protect the promises of God in your life. And the first level of meekness right now is going to be salvation through Jesus Christ. Submit yourself unto God. So, if you haven't done that, let us do this now, because the clock is ticking. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. Lord God in heaven, I believe your word. I believe you sent your son to die for our sins. I believe I was born in sin, and I ask forgiveness for that. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And for those that have backslidden, I ask, Lord, to forgive me that I have broken away from you, but I'm coming back to you, and I believe I'm forgiven right now, according to 1 John 1:9, and I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God made that too easy for us, too easy. That clears, far as his book's concerned, that eliminates all the sin. Doesn't matter whether you in Christ or just came into Christ. That's what counts. Okay, you may have to deal with the cause and effect of some of the things that occurred in life. He'll help you work around that. God saved me, delivered me. He delivered me in circumstances I would not have delivered me from. And in that, the one thing you want to do with your life, you want to pray every day, at least 5 minutes. Pray for somebody. Pray for another nation. Pray for this nation. Pray for the president. Pray for your governor, your mayor. You know, spend some time. Learn the word. And remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. Amen. See you next week. Amen. God
tells us that we need to be concerned about justice. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul is pleading his case all the way up to Caesar.
Took a ride down Forest Hill, made a turn on how to pimp a butterfly. Lot of positivity coming through rhymes, lot of frustration with today's times. I can appreciate social commentary, a message conveying more than the monetary. It's good to put money on homie's commissary, but it's something deeper got his mama worried. Beautiful statements made about raising kids, keep him from making the same mistakes we did. Teach him about taxes and how to manage money. Teach him about equity and investing money. How to deal with depression, youngins be going through it. And the post-traumatic stresses from life in the hood. Searching for solutions everywhere under the sun. Looking for a brighter day but rejecting the sun. And I know that the pain you feel is real. Yeah, I feel it too. And we all sick and tired of this. We want justice, I know. We wonder will it ever end. I promise it will, but just know, you ain't gotta have it just for time. You can have it for eternity. Lord knows we need good people changing policies. People in high positions seeking equality. Shifting legislation meeting common needs. The kind of wisdom that strengthen the weak economy. And I can appreciate social activists and some of the rappers giving analysis. And use a celebrity as a catalyst. As long as they recognize it's inadequate to fix the problem that's at the bottom of all problems. To my philanthropic partners, this might make you solemn. It's our seeing nature affecting the macrocosm. We were born with it, shaped in it, we all got it. In the garden, we got it and didn't trust first. We disregarded our father, so it's a just curse. So it's not that we don't value much of the earth. We just want you to evaluate what's worse.
And I know that the pain you feel is real, yeah, I feel it too. And we are sick and tired of it. We want justice, I know. We wonder will it ever end. I promise it will, but just know, you ain't gotta have it just for time. You can have it for eternity.
Seems like the goal is utopia, so we striving for social justice and human rights. Just as sure as human trafficking should break our hearts and cultivating us motivation to go and fight. There are spiritual realities we must consider, just as real with consequences that we must consider. The education can't fix either, we must consider. The person of Jesus spoken about in scripture, he told us about deep corruption inside our hearts. And if we're honest, see defiance in our own thoughts. See the evidence, failed efforts of Karl Marx. Since the Enlightenment, been fighting to pull it off, to make this world a better place without God. But true hope and freedom only Jesus can provide.
when your motivation is based on the one who died. Good works can count for eternity and the present time.
And I know that the pain you feel is real, yeah, I feel it too. And we are sick and tired of this. We want justice, I know. We want to live and die. I promise that we'll say no. You ain't gotta have it just for time. You can have it for eternity.
Yeah, that the pain you feel is real, yeah, I feel it too. We are sick and tired of this. We want justice.
I
know. We wonder will it ever end. I promise it will.
Yeah.
You ain't gotta have it just for time. You can have it for eternity.
God tells us to care about the flourishing of the people around us, to care about our nation.